We're back on Interview Radio. This is Kyle. I'm joined by Lexington and Ben. We're on 95.7 WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Our next guest has been described by the Herald Leader as tall, ambitious, disciplined, talented, and poised. She's 18-year-old sophomore, and she's Miss Kentucky. We welcome on Miss Clark Janelle Davis. How are you doing today, Clark?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
We're really happy to have you. So I don't know a whole lot about this pageant journey, but you competed in the Miss America pageant in September, right?
Yes, I did.
What was the whole journey for you up to that point?
Yeah, well, it all happened kind of quick. So this was actually my first year competing in pageantry. I started in January of 2015, and a year later, here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey. After you win the title of Miss Kentucky, you have a couple of months to prepare to get ready for Miss America. Then you stay in Atlantic City with the other 52 women, and you practice all day long, very long days, and you really get to bond, and it becomes a sisterhood, and that's what the Miss America pageant system is all about. It's really cool to get to watch it from a non-pageant girl kind of perspective.
I read, correct me if this is wrong because it was on your Wikipedia page, but you were the you were the youngest competitor that year. Is that correct?
Yes, I was the youngest competitor at Miss America, and I am the youngest Miss Kentucky in history, so
Wow. That's
pretty exciting.
That is an accomplishment. Is it intimidating at all at your young age to take on all the responsibilities involved with this?
It's not, because I don't think my age, the number of how old I am, how many years I've lived on Earth has anything to do with my maturity level. I know that I am capable of handling the job. And so I'm not intimidated in any way. I'm actually maybe a little more excited because I have this title to uphold. And because of my age, I know so many eyes are on me that I know I just have to do an even better job than people think I'm capable of doing.
Well, it doesn't have much of an effect on your poise or your talent. You attended the School for the Creative and Performing Arts here in Lexington. Is that correct?
I did. I'm a SCAPA alum.
And I see that you're a singer. Is that right?
Yes, I'm an opera singer. I'm actually a vocal performance major here at the University of Kentucky.
Pursuing a law degree sometime in the future, though? Is that right?
Hopefully. I'm really looking into the Patterson School of Diplomacy here at UK as well. So I definitely want to get into public servitude. I'd like to become president of the United States one day in the future here. So
you've got
just looking
vote.
Forward to a very eventful life.
Yes, well, let's talk a little bit about what you have done this weekend, because you did perform at some of the MLK events this weekend, correct?
I did. I had a very exciting Monday yesterday.
Good. Well, what all did you perform at?
Well, I performed at the Unity Breakfast, and I sang the Lord's Prayer. And that was a great experience. It was put on by Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, and it was an amazing experience, which really set the mood for the entire day. And then following that performance, I was a part of the MLK program, which Danny Glover was at. So I got the opportunity to sing Summertime, Ride Up in the Chariot, and Walk Together Children, three of my favorite songs.
Awesome. Why are those your favorite?
Well, Summertime is my favorite because that is the song that I sang that won me the title of Miss Kentucky and that I took to Miss America. But it's also, it's a lullaby, and it's something that just soothes my soul every time I sing it, because it's kind of a part of me now. It's just one of the songs that I learned when I was first becoming a singer. And then the other two songs, those are just great American spirituals that remind me of my heritage. Being a young African-American female, I always have to look back at my past and remember how far my people have come and how proud I am to be an African-American woman.
So how does your heritage affect how you spend Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
Well, getting to be Miss Kentucky, it's really afforded me some great opportunities. because I am one of a handful of Black Miss Kentuckys, and so it really gave me a time to get to reflect on how much of an accomplishment this is, how many people died so that I would even be allowed to have the dream, let alone to be able to achieve it and get to serve my community. So it was really a day that kind of rejuvenated my soul and reminded me of what kind of weight I really have on my shoulders every single day. It was really an amazing event.
Did you geek out when you met Danny Glover?
Oh, I totally freaked out. There are definitely pictures on my Snapchat of me, you know, trying to get a selfie with him, but he's not paying any attention, so I'm just totally fangirling over Danny Glover in the corner.
What did you think of his speech?
Oh, he was fantastic. It's actually funny, when he was talking, he was giving a sermon, one of MLK's sermons, but he also mentioned that he has dyslexia. So it was cool to get to watch him read, knowing that I, too, have dyslexia. And so knowing that he was up there on the stage overcoming what I also have to overcome every single day was really neat, really neat to get to be there.
What do you do in the community to create awareness for people with dyslexia as a learning disability?
Yeah, so right now, as Miss Kentucky, I travel the entire state, and I give lots of speeches to schools. So that's my main job, is to go to schools and talk to young kids. So I let these children know that 1 in 5 people have dyslexia, and only 1 in 100 actually know that they have it and are adequately treated for their learning disability. And so I let these kids know that, you know, sometimes when you're asked to read out loud and you get nervous and you stumble over the words, it's not because you're less than your peers. It's not because you're not as smart as the other kids in the classroom. Sometimes it's just because that's the way you were made. That was the way you're intended to be. So I love getting to talk to kids about dyslexia. And then on top of that, I've actually started my own organization called the Best Me I Can Be Foundation, Embracing the Difference in You. And with that, I get to talk to legislators, and I get to talk to adults who have children about the importance of raising awareness and helping these students that have dyslexia, because they are just as intelligent as everyone else in the room.
I'm curious, how old were you when you found out you had dyslexia?
Well, I was in the 3rd grade. I'm not sure how old 3rd graders
That's
are.
That's 8-ish, I think.
3rd grade.
And how did you come to find out? Were there tests you were given, or were you having any trouble in school? What prompted you to get tested for it?
Yes, well, I was certainly having difficulty in school, being able to keep up with my reading and my writing. And so it was actually my mom that took the initiative to get me tested. And unfortunately, that testing was not provided to me through the school system. Hmm. So we did have to go outside of the Fayette County Public Schools to get testing, which was very expensive. So that's how I found out that I had dyslexia, was through my testing, and it's neat to get to look back at my experience and know that finding out that you have dyslexia should not cost $1,000. It is something that can so easily be assessed that I think that every student should be given that opportunity to at least know why they're having a difficult time in school.
And were you able to find resources in the public school system, or did you guys have to go outside the Fayette County again?
We had to keep going outside of Fayette County. It was a very difficult, arduous process. The school system looks at a multitude of things, and oftentimes students with dyslexia, even if their dyslexia is diagnosed, their IQs are often, quote-unquote, too high. So the gap between what they could be achieving and what they are achieving is not big enough. And so I did have to go outside of the school system to get the resources that I needed to be able to perform well in school, because the school system said that my IQ was too high for me to have dyslexia, even though we know now that that is far from the truth.
Right. It's not about intelligence level. It's about just sort of how would you define it personally for you? Not level of intent of intelligence, but it's a level of what?
It's dyslexia is a processing and recognition disability. And so some people with dyslexia know the words. They understand what's going on, but our brains just take a little bit longer. It's like a slower computer. It just takes a second for our brains to be able to understand how these words work together in a sentence, or what the exact definition of this one word is and how it works in this paragraph as a whole. So we are more than capable of understanding. It just takes us a second or two longer.
And what would you say is like the biggest misconception people have about people with dyslexia?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions people have about dyslexia is that we see things upside down. Yes, in very extreme cases, there are people whose dyslexia is so bad that they actually can't see lines. So the letters are, in a sense, moving around. But for most of us, the letters look exactly the same as they do to everyone else. They aren't, you know, wiggling around on the page. Right. It's just that our brains take a second longer to understand the definition or the order of letters that are on the page.
And do you think kids today, especially in public schools, maybe have a few more resources than you did even just a few years ago?
Unfortunately, not a whole lot more. They still do not very heavily recognize dyslexia as a learning disability. They don't do specialty testing for students. And so oftentimes a student, if they're having a hard time, they will get tested and they'll be under a generic learning disability, which means that they don't have to be specifically treated for dyslexia, dysgraphia, or dyscalculia. And so when those three things, which are very different in themselves, when all those three things kind of get grouped together in one method of helping a student, then you're not really doing these kids a service. So that's why I speak out about it almost every single day, is because I know that there are things that need to be changed, because these are the kids that are going to change the world the way I know I'm going to change the world.
We're talking to Clark Davis on Interview Radio. You might know her as Miss Kentucky. Clark, can you tell us about what Kentucky Proud is and what your association with them is?
Yeah, so Kentucky Proud is what our agricultural department is really promoting nowadays. So Kentucky Proud means that there are products that have been produced and are being sold in Kentucky. And I love this program because I know exactly where my food and where my soap and my lotion and things are coming from. And it's helping boost our Kentucky economy. And that is what we really need to be focusing on, is helping each other, helping our brothers that are right down the street from us.
What's the coolest experience you've had being Miss Kentucky?
Oh, boy. The coolest experience. Oh, one of the really neat ones was I was actually in Somerset, Kentucky, and I just was walking into a room, and there's Terry Bradshaw just, you know, sitting in the chair. I had no idea he was going to be there that day. That was another fangirl moment that I had. I took a bunch of pictures with him, but I did get to meet Terry Bradshaw, and so it's cool to watch Super Bowl Sunday, you know, and see him on the TV and think, hey, I met him, you know, and was corner in Somerset.
Are you, you have like a special seat at Rupp Arena behind the bench or anything? Like, can you get into those games anytime you want?
You know what?
Thinking local celebrity, you know?
I haven't tried yet, but I think I need to, is what the deal is.
What's the deal with the Cats, Clark? Let us know. You're Miss Kentucky. You represent all of us in some way. What's going on with these Cats?
I know
you know a lot about the X's. You've probably got the X's and O's broken down on a whiteboard somewhere in your house, but if you can just give us, the layman, an overview of what's happening.
Well, you know, I don't get a whole lot of time to, you know, watch sports right now. Pretty busy as Miss Kentucky, but these are boys. These are young men, and I think we need to look at them as such. I have an older brother who plays basketball for Butler up in Indianapolis, and so it's cool to get to watch him and watch these UK players and know they're 18, 20 year olds. Sometimes they have bad days, sometimes they have awesome days, and you can't, you know, yell at them and shove them around and just sit there these, no,
I'm curious.
They're real people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious. You said you hadn't participated in any really pageants growing up.
Yes, yes. This was my first year of pageantry.
So this was your first shot at a pageant in the state of Kentucky, and you won Miss Kentucky.
Well, actually, I had to do a preliminary pageant. It was called the Miss Horse Capital of the World pageant, and that qualified me to then go to Miss Kentucky. And I, of course, won that first pageant. Then I got sent on to Miss Kentucky, and I did win that. And it was my first year of doing pageants. It was my second actual pageant. My third pageant ever was Miss America.
Oh, my goodness. There is sometimes a stigma that comes with pageants, but they are really amazing opportunities for women. And you mentioned that sisterhood. What's kind of some of the things you've experienced?
Yes, I think that this whole pageant system and everything that I've learned over this past year is really about developing these young girls. Even at the local level, girls that, you know, have competed for Miss Kentucky and haven't quite achieved that goal, I get to see how they are developing, how all of this interview practice has made them better people. I think we are very well-versed. We're able to communicate our thoughts and opinions and not be harsh when expressing them. And so it's very neat to watch this grace in this class be something that all of these young girls are embodying.
What advice do you have for girls who maybe don't think that they are a pageant girl, or don't think that even having that poise and that practice is something that they would be good at?
Well, I would tell them that they are exactly like me a little over a year ago. I did not think that I would be capable of becoming Miss Kentucky. Sometimes self-defeat stops us from even wanting to achieve our dreams. And so for those young women that don't believe that they're capable of, you know, competing in pageantry or think that they should hold their head up and hold their shoulders back, I would say to them that they can. And sometimes you have to be your own cheerleader, and sometimes you're the only person that thinks that you can. But if you have that positive attitude, then I don't think there's anything in the world that can stop you from achieving your goals.
What kind of support have you received from your peers and from the UK community and then from the state?
Yeah, so everybody has been overwhelmingly supportive. You know, after you go to Miss America, you're there for 2 weeks, and you know that you are representing your entire state. You're seeing the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram posts, and, you know, you get really excited. And when you don't win, when the final night is over and you feel like you let your entire state down, you're almost afraid to come home for a second. You think, oh my gosh, you know, I just let everyone down. But to know that that is far from the truth is, it was really amazing and eye-opening. When I came home, I was flooded with support and letting me know that I represented our state well, and that now I have an entire year to get to represent the state and encourage everyone here. The University of Kentucky has done a fantastic job with encouraging me as well, not only through my vocal performance and giving me the opportunity to continue to get to perform while I'm Miss Kentucky, but also they have really embraced, you know, me being the first Black Miss Kentucky from the University of Kentucky. They've done a couple of featured articles on me, and they really made me feel welcome and invited and very special, and I appreciate it very much.
This is Interview Radio. We're talking to Miss Kentucky Clark Davis, who's 18, the youngest competitor at Miss America last year, and a talented songstress. I was wondering, Clark, can we have a few bars of Porgy and Bess?
Yes, yes, of course. All right. So
fantastic.
Summertime. I try to never say no, even on the radio here. So this is the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, a song called Summertime. And this is actually what I sang at Miss Kentucky. And it's funny, I sang it a cappella. So this is how it sounded even at Miss America here.
Lovely.
Awesome.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
little baby, don't you cry.
Oh my God, that was incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's Miss Kentucky, who just regaled us with Summertime by Porgy and Bess. I don't know how... I'm going to need to send a letter campaign to these judges. I'm not sure how you didn't come back with the crown on that one.
It's okay. God had bigger and better plans, and now I get to have an intimate relationship with my state and the people that live here, and it's really been an honor, so I couldn't be more proud to get to represent the best state in the country here. So.
And we're honored
no
to have you.
That
would be pretty hard to beat, but is there anything you'd like to say before we wrap up?
I think we have covered a couple of bases, but I am so honored that I was allowed to be on your radio show this morning, and I hope to stay in contact with you all.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming
on. We'll actually have to bring you down so we can get a nice live recording of you on...
Maybe an operatic
promo of some kind would be just fantastic. Thank you
that
so much.
That would be great.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Clark.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was Interview Radio, or... Are we going to go with Let's Talk Lex for the future?
No, we're still debating. It's got some phonetic qualities that we're not so hot on. But currently still Interview Radio. If you've got any suggestions, if there's anyone out there within the sound of my voice, you can find us on our Facebook page, Lexington Community Radio, or it's got to be a Twitter handle.
Oh, we're LexingtonCommunityRadio.org and all that, so...
And thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. For Lex and Ben, I'm Kyle. Have a good Tuesday.